Marcellus Blindfold. That's record number one.
If only, my first inclination when I hear the size of the band and the orchestration would be to think Gil Evans, but it's not Gil because he doesn't write like that.
Right.
So only, it has to be George Russell. It reminded me, see, because I was going to do a big band record.
Oh, really?
And Thad Jones was writing the arrangements for me when he passed. And one of the songs we were going to do was New York, New York.
No kidding.
You know, with George Russell.
Hmm.
So I had listened to that song for about 4 months.
My goodness.
And we had come to the conclusion, well, I had come to the conclusion, Thad would never say yes or no, but that it was, I couldn't use almost anything that George had done.
Really?
Like, you know, get to a ticket, find your ticket, go. That was great. But then when the band started, just the arrangement, it's just kind of meander into nothingness. It just goes on and on and on, and it doesn't have any point of reference or anything. And I just couldn't, I knew, there's no way I could play that. And I just didn't want to hear that on my record.
Is that what you hear also?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. you know, so that's how I knew it was him, because it sounded so much that it reminded me. That's why I kind of giggled, because I remember the frustration of figuring out. Where we, like, the second part of the song in New York, and New York is great. You know, the part where it slows down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he starts talking about, you know, lack of attention, there's nothing to hide from, but it's sort of like something Bird died from.
Yeah.
That's great harmony. But I think when George, was just my opinion, that when he tried to get very creative and very unusual, it was very unusual, but it just kind of sat there.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I knew this was him after a while.
Yeah.
I knew it was just because George Russell's the only other guy that has a band with that kind of instrumentation other than Gil.
Yeah, yeah. So, any rating?
I don't rate. I don't give rating.
Well, you could. I mean, it's not that difficult. What you're saying, in effect, is you think it's just...
two stars. Two stars.
Yeah. That's what it was. It's from a new album. I think it's new. It's on Blue Note.
Rough, man.
Yeah.
I get my the composition was Steve Coleman's. The Steve Coleman playing saxophone, whom I love and admire the hell out of. I love the way he plays, and I love his approach to the music, you know, particularly in composition as well as performance. Bobby McFerrin, I would presume, singing. I've heard him do about 100% better than that. You know, this isn't, I think he's still the premier voice of the 20th century in terms of the voice, maybe not the interpretation sometimes. The tenor player, I don't know. The only person that came to my mind was Chico Freeman. I don't know if it was him or not. Was that him? Okay, I don't know if that was him or not, but that was definitely Steve. The drummer.
Who was Steve?
Steve Coleman. I thought it was Steve Coleman on alto. I think that one of the major problems I have with this record is recording technique. Is this, you can't tell what kind of relationship the drummer and the bass player have, because the drummer's in an isolation booth. You can tell he's isolated and separated, and it sounds so bad because it never really swings, because there's no air, there's no interspersion, there's no group sound.
Yeah.
You know, and those kind of records, they always upset me, so that it's very hard for me to get to the music because the recording sounds so bad.
Yeah.
And I think that subconsciously that happens to a lot of other people as well. And I would use this to make a pitch to get musicians to study more about the acoustics of music and why things work and why they don't,
yeah,
and strive for better recording technique. The drummer taking a shot in the dark, it sounded at points to me like Billy Hart, but I was never really sure.
You like the composition?
I like that. I don't particularly like the arrangement. I like the composition, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't particularly. It would sound like Steve, but then it doesn't, because it can't be Steve's record to me, because Steve's stuff is a lot more structured than that. The way that turned out.
Yeah.
You know, it was a whole lot of ifs. It sounded like Steve, though. I'd be surprised if it was somebody else.
You want to rate it? Good. Three. Fair.
No, three.
Okay.
probably it would have gotten a four if I could distinguish it better. The recording technique brings it down to a three.
Right. Okay.
I have no idea who that was. It will remind me of some of the pieces you're forced to play when you study classical music as a saxophone major at any of those institutions. But they didn't remind me of saxophone students because they didn't have that obnoxious vibrato that most classical saxophonists would have. Oh, soprano players sounds like they listen to a lot of Wayne, or that, you know, they're very influenced by the Weather Report Wayne.
Yeah.
The music sounds like it would be good in a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, as good as at tension and climax is concerned, but it reminds me of a lot of 20th century composers who write for saxophones in the classical genres. Like, I fail to see the point of it.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of, it is what it is, and it goes on, and other than showing what kind of impeccable technique the performers have, musically it does nothing. It just sits there. It's like, you know, I can't even think of any other instrument that has to suffer through that, though. Even in trumpet, like the Carnival of Venice is at least musical.
Yeah.
I mean, that was some of the most unmusical stuff that I've heard in quite some time. And not in terms of the musicians performing, it's just the piece itself is just null.
Yeah.
Doesn't leave you a whole lot to play with, you know, a whole bunch of Slonimsky scales, you know, books out of scales that you can find in any music thesaurus. And if you practice them long enough, then you can play them.
Yeah. I guess no.
So, I mean, four stars for technique, zero for musical content.
Yeah.
Well, what's that shit? Certain records need no rating. It reminds me of one time I was reading Downbeat, and this idiot was reviewing Miles Live at the Plug Nickel, probably one of the greatest albums that Quintet ever recorded, you know, which was really a tribute to how they sound like, and he gave it like two stars or something like that.
Who did?
I don't remember who it was. Whatever it was, it'd be shot. I mean, really. And he was saying that it was like a ho-hum record. Really wasn't nothing exciting. I mean, he'd probably gotten it a week before he reviewed it.
Yeah.
Said, Wayne sounded good. It sounded like Wayne's band. He sounded good. But, somebody really didn't have an idea of creativity. And that's when I realized that certain records, man, they shouldn't even be rated. They shouldn't even be considered. Like, you know, 5,000 stars automatically. You know, Sonny Rollins playing Nigeria spelled backwards.
Yeah.
You know, that's just... We were already talking about that. You know, what can I say, man? It's Miles and Newt. Is that Max? I don't know. I don't remember that well.
Sure. I remember other. Let's see.
It didn't really sound like him. And Percy Heath? Percy?
Russ Silver, Percy Heath,
yeah.
Kenny Clark.
The Klute, man. Percy Heath, man, I love the way he plays the bass. So the lines are so lyrical and smooth. I'd love to do a record with him one day. See, I went to school for arranging.
Uh-huh.
So it reminds me of there were a lot of students who came in and you had to reharmonize old standards. So what cats would do was, whenever they wanted to do something that sounded new and inventive, they would get all of these chords and they'd figure out all these chords that work with the melody line. That really don't work with the melody line. Because, I mean, if they had worked that good with the melody line, then Strayhorn would have wrote it that way and put it down.
Right.
But they reharmonize all of these chords, and what winds up happening is most of them run into a brick wall, and you get a good one out of every one, and they can't figure out which one's to use and which one's not to use. The saxophone solely section was really happening, because it's cool to do that in solely sections, because the lines are moving by so fast that it doesn't matter. The solely part was real nice. The only person I can figure this being is the modern jazz, the World Saxophone Quartet, because that's the only saxophone group I've ever heard that has such that full-bodied sound.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's the sound of it is just, it's just, it has to be them, because they have that sound that I've never heard. The only group I've heard to come close to that is the 125th Street Saxophone Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
With Bobby Watson, Ed Jackson, Jim Hartung. And the other guy's name I can't remember.
Yeah.
But you know, all those other groups don't have that sound. It sounds like they're trying to play louder than the next guy.
Yeah.
Or else it sounds like they're just. It sounds like they've been in the studios too long. Like in, you know, studios. But these cats have that sound. They sound like they've been playing together a lot.
Yeah.
So I can't figure it being anybody but them.
Yeah.
But the reharmonization of the melody is a bit hokey for me.
Yeah.
So I give it like 4 stars for sound and performance.
Yeah.
And I had to give it like a 2 on that arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hello, Bradford.
Good to see you again. How have you? You can turn it off.
I'll repeat what you just said.
When?
I can turn it off.
I said, you can turn it off now. I already know what this is. I can sing this whole track for you from the beginning to the end.
You like it that well?
Yeah, I really do. Uh-huh. I think it's killing. Uh-huh. Well, I can't remember the name of the track. What's it
Splash,
called? Splash, right. Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
I think this record shows a lot of things. It shows Marcus Miller's emergence as a first-rate producer.
Uh-huh.
I think it's finally what Miles has always wanted, which was to be like successful in the pop format, even though I don't know how successful he'll be.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's what he wanted, you know. The record companies would do themselves a favor by quit shoving him in the jazz section and putting him more out in the pop section where he wants to be. This is a very marketable album. The first side, I think the second side is dreadful, but the first side is very marketable and it has some great tunes on it, you know, the whole first side.
Wait a minute, is that on the first side, Spine?
Definitely, last cut, first side.
Right, yeah.
No, man.
You should know, right?
The first side is happening, the second side is kind of rough. I think Marcus could have done himself a greater favor by not playing saxophone on that, you know, because that was like the real low point of the album.
Mm.
But this is one of those rare records where even though he's playing every instrument, it doesn't sound like it, you know, and that's a true credit to him. I think that it's I know for a fact that Miles knows very little about the way these records are done and the recording technique used to do them. So I think that it's kind of a downer that it's such an incredible musical presence as Miles Davis has been reduced to a spectator on his own record. Because I know from how these records are made, and I know from playing with Miles, that the only thing he did was come in and play them overdubs.
when
overdub his parts when the rhythm track was finished. Because his mind doesn't think like Marcus's. This is definitely a Marcus Miller production.
Oh yeah,
and it's kind of down that Miles is reduced to a spectator on his own record, but the record is happening. You know, I like the cuts, particularly like I said again on the first side. So I give 5 stars to side one. You know, judging this as a pop record, first of all, let's get it straight. I'm not judging this as a jazz record at all.
Right.
I'm judging this as an instrumental pop record. You know, with George Howard and all those guys.
Yeah.
This record gets 5 stars. The production is much better than all those other records, and instrumental records, Shadow Effects and Special Effects. And the production on this is incredible. Miles sounds better than he sounded, I think, on any of those records since he's come back.
Yeah.
For side one, 2 stars for side two, 5 stars for side one.
That was mistake. Yeah, okay. That's very interesting because